we doing, everybody? And welcome to Wisconsin Sports on the Go with Trage. I'm your host, Trage. It is Thursday, May 16th. We're almost through May now. We're almost to June right now. Isn't it just crazy? It's just flying by. Already almost to June here. That means the baseball season is heating up. We're just getting into the stretch of things. We're getting just about to that quarter of the way, right? And we're going to have to give our quarter reports, right? But, I mean, baseball is heating up right now. So I want to look at a lot of baseball today. Not a whole lot happening in the world of sports today. We did see the NFL schedules were released. I wanted to kind of look over that today. But mainly looking at the Brewers, seeing what we saw out of this series win there against the Pirates. And then from there, see where the day takes us, right? Like I said, not a whole lot happening, so we're going to make something happen, right? We're going to make something happen here today on the show. So before we get started, I want to mention a few of the sponsors of the show here quick. First, Game Day Supply on Alaska. Do you have a sports club or team? Are you looking for some sweet custom uniforms or apparel? Check out the awesome crew at Game Day Supply on Alaska to help your team get the sweetest gear. Find them on Facebook at Game Day Supply or online at gamedaysupply.net. Also, your hometown team, Century 21 Gold Key Realty. Call Peggy, Sue, or Anna to find your dream home or if you're looking to sell. Find them on Facebook at your hometown team, Century 21 Gold Key Realty, or stop in and see them at their location in Marshfield. Also, Sport and Spine Clinic in Greenwood, Wisconsin. If you've been injured recently, whether at work, whether it was on the basketball court, baseball field, softball field, whatever it is, and you need some physical therapy, stop in there in Greenwood, Wisconsin and see Chad. He'll get you right. He'll get you back to work, back on the field, whatever it is. Whatever you were injured doing, he'll get you back to doing it. Sport and Spine Clinic in Greenwood. Also, Marshfield Motor Speedway is located just 3 miles outside of Marshfield on County Road H. You got to get down there this summer. Tons of family fun for all ages. Great food, great drinks, great atmosphere, tons of great racing. Find the schedule on their Facebook page or online. Just search Marshfield Motor Speedways. Otherwise, on my Facebook page, Wisconsin Sports on the Go with Trage, I shared the schedule on there. Sports Scene in Marshfield, Wisconsin. All your sports memorabilia needs, from cards to, they have jerseys, plaques, whatever you need. They got it down there at the store. See Al down there. He'll get you right. He'll get you fixed up down there with all your sport memorabilia needs down there at Sports Scene in Marshfield. And also Pittsville Farm and Home Center. It's summer, right? We're getting into summer here, getting close to summer. And you might have some yard projects. You might have some gardening, whatever it is. They got all the tools you need down there at Pittsville Farm and Home. So check them out there in Pittsville, Wisconsin. They're Pittsville Farm and Home Center in Pittsville. But with that, I want to jump into it now. I wanted to thank sponsors that sponsored me before we got this show started here. So right away, I want to look at the Brewers. The Brewers series win against the Pirates yesterday there. And it was in dominant fashion. A home run derby, right? A lot of people calling it a home run derby at American Family Field for this one. It was an exciting game all the way around. So let's jump right into it. You had another fantastic start from Robert Gasser. That was great to see. 5 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts in this one. Gasser was good in this game. The strikeout number is still not high, right? Not what we've seen him do down in the AAA level, but this is a little bit different, right? Finding his footing at the big league level. That's what he's doing at this point. So good stuff there. Working himself out of jams. He had that first and third with nobody out there early on in this game here when the Pirates did squeak across the run on him. And he was able to, sack fly, outside of that, got out of the inning, right? That's what matters right there, is he was able to get himself out of the inning. So good stuff there out of Gasser. Pyumps, good stuff out of Pyumps. Something that we needed to see was a bounce back out of Pyumps after he's had some shaky outings this year. That's undeniable. And to see him come out in this one and deliver a solid inning of work, that was good stuff. An inning there, 2 strikeouts, good work out of Pyumps. Jared Koenig, an inning there, 1 hit, 1 earned run. He gave up that solo home run to Andrew McCutchen. Outside of that, good work out of him there. And then Mitch White coming in out of the bullpen. 2 strikeouts, 1 hit given up, 2 innings of work, 0s across the board elsewhere for White. Good stuff. Good stuff there out of the Brewers pitching staff in this one. Only 2 runs for the Pirates in this one on 8 hits in total. So good work all the way around there. 7 strikeouts, not huge strikeout numbers in this game for the Brewers pitching staff, but I mean, outs are outs, right? Outs are outs. Good stuff there. So looking over at the Brewers lineup, this is where the magic happened, right? William Contreras, 3-for-5 at the top of the... This was, you know, before I get started here, this was one of those lineups that was like, I'm just going to roll it out there and see what happens, right? You know, we always were so used to seeing Craig Counsell's lineups, the random day lineups, right? This was the random day. We're going to give some guys some off days. Time to line up here. Contreras in the leadoff spot, 3-for-5 in on this one. He had that big 3-run home run, 4 RBIs. One run scored in this one. Adames 0-for-4, batting the 2 spot. Then came Joey Ortiz. Interesting. I mean, dude's been hitting good, right? The bat's been hot, so it doesn't surprise me to see him move up in the order. Just, it was one of those lineups that Pat Murphy put together that was quite interesting when you really looked at it. So Joey Ortiz, 2-for-2, on base 5 times in this one. 2 walks in this game also to go along with it. And he had an RBI, that solo home run that he had there in this one, and also 2 runs scored for Joey Ortiz. Gary Sanchez continues to hit the baseball, 2-for-5 in this one, 2 RBIs, 1 run scored. He had a home run in this one here. Blake Perkins just cannot find his stride right now, and it sucks to say because he had such a hot start to the season here, and now he's just struggling to find his way. So hopefully, I mean, with time here, Perkins, he just needs one to fall, right? He just needs, I mean, an infield hit, whatever it is. He needs something to get and something to get him going. Because, man, oh, man, I mean, the way that it started for Perkins, it was like, man, this guy is, he's making himself an everyday outfielder. It's going to be hard to take him out. Now it's like, you know, I just wish he could find, the, you know, that bat again. Because he's got the speed, he's got the base running IQ that once he gets on, he can make things happen. So hopefully, I mean, he starts to figure it out, starts to get going here. We did see Chris Roller. Chris Roller was called up from AAA. I was going to get to that move here in a little bit, but Chris Roller did make an appearance in this one, 0-for-1 with a strikeout. You know, in a game like this, he just kind of gets thrown into the mix, strikeout. We'll see what happens in his first full game, right? We'll see what happens in the first full game. Andrew Monasterio, 0-for-4 in this one. Owen Miller, 1-for-4 in the ball game. Jackson Churro, 2-for-4 with that big home run. 441 feet that home run went. That was a shot by Jackson Churro. 5 on the year for Jackson Churro now. And then Sal Frelick goes deep back-to-back games. Saw another bomb out of Frelick. 3-for-4 out of Sal. Hopefully... that home run that he hit 2 nights ago is going to lead to a hot streak for Sal Frelick, right? He was cooling off just a little bit, right? The average started to dip. Now he's got it back up 257 after a 3-for-4 game. So hopefully this is a good sign for Sal that the ball is starting to come off the bat a little bit hotter and something good's going to come, right? Something good is happening there with Sal Frelick. I mean, back-to-back games with a home run, right? Showing off the power. And that's good stuff, if you ask me. So Brewers get the series win, right? 10-2, they beat the Pirates. They win 2 out of 3 here. They got an off day coming up today here. They're going to be taking on the Astros then over the weekend. We'll get more into that series in the weekend preview show here coming up tomorrow there on the show. We'll talk more about that in total. But, you know, looking at this Brewers team right now, standings-wise, the Brewers still out front by 1.5 games right now. They're on that 2-game win streak. The Cubs did beat the Braves, so they remain that 1.5 back. The Pirates dropped their 7.5 back of the Brewers now. Cardinals did jump out of the cellar, right? They're no longer in dead last. They are in second to last now. 7.5 games back of the Brewers. They've won 3 in a row now, so watch out for them pesky Cardinals, right? They're finding their stride. They're finding their stride right now. They are currently playing the Angels, so I don't know if you can count that as finding your stride out there as much as anything. I just wanted to see. I'm looking at that, you know, some of the, you know, Goldschmidt's got the average up over 200. He's at 208 now, entering that game that they're in right now. So interesting stuff there. Coming out of the Cardinals, I don't know, maybe Goldschmidt's starting to figure it out. Maybe the Brewers helped him out. I don't know with that one. The Reds currently, they're 8 games back, though. The Reds have been scuffling. After that hot start to the year, they have slowly kind of dipped back. 2-8 in their last 10 games. I mean, not a great stretch of baseball for the Cincinnati Reds. Their run differential right now is at -3. The Cardinals is at negative 45. The Pirates is at negative 34. The Brewers plus 42. And the Cubs plus 15. Now, if you don't know what that is, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of myself here, but if you don't know what that is, it's basically runs scored to runs allowed, right? So how many runs your team scores versus how many runs your team allows, right? That's your difference in there. So it basically just gives you the metric of saying, hey, the Brewers have scored 223 runs on the year and they've allowed 181. So you want to, I mean, common sense, or I guess you could say common sense, you want to have that plus in that run differential there. I mean, you look at teams, looking at the NL East right now with the Phillies, they're up top of the NL East right now with a 31-13 record. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. They have a run differential right now of plus 72. Wowza. Plus 72 on a run differential right now. That's some crazy stuff coming out of the Phillies. They've pushed that lead over the Braves there. The second place Braves, 26-14 are the Braves right now, three games back of the Phillies right now. Their run differential sitting at plus 48. They're followed up by the Nationals, then the Mets, then the Miami Marlins in there right now. The Nationals 10 games back, Mets 11, and then the Marlins at 18.5 games back. As of right now, I mean, outside of the Phillies, some teams in that division scuffling also. I mean, look at the Braves, 6-4 in their last 10. And then you look Nationals, 4-6, Mets, 3-7, and then the Miami Marlins, 4-6 in their last 10 games. The Los Angeles Dodgers right now, 29-15, they lead the West right now, plus 84 in that run differential right now. Looking down the line there, then comes the San Diego Padres, 8 games back of first place right now. They're 4-6 in their last 10. The Arizona Diamondbacks have been hot as of late here. They still remain 8 games back, but they are 7-3 in their last 10 games. Run differential sitting at plus 15. Starting to find their ground, right? Starting to, put something together. Maybe the Diamondbacks start to create a little bit of a run there. San Francisco Giants, they're coming in 19-25 right now. They are currently sitting 10 games back of first place. And then the Colorado Rockies at 15-28, 13.5 games back. Crazy to see the Rockies, as bad as they are, as bad as they've played this year, that they are that close with the Giants yet, who did make some decent-sized moves, right? Blake Snell and also getting in Matt Chapman there. I'm not sure on the Blake Snell front if we have seen Blake Snell yet. Right, just wanted to check that out. See if I can figure that one out for you. Yeah, we have seen him 3 starts so far on this young season so far. I mean, so we've seen Blake Snell a little bit, and they also have Jordan Hicks, a guy who I saw an interesting stat with him. He's actually lost. We're talking about a guy, if you remember Jordan Hicks from a while ago, he was the flamethrower in the Cardinals bullpen. And he had issues with control, right? And that led to the high ERAs and everything like that. This season with San Francisco, he has had seen his velocity go down, right? His velocity is currently, he's lost actually 4.7 miles per hour on his fastball, velocity in total, right? And his ERA went from 3.29 to 2.44. That's interesting. That's crazy stat right there to say that you can have that big of a drop-off in velocity and still be, you know, actually be better in the earned run department there. So it makes you wonder, is velocity really the biggest thing when it comes to getting outs, eliminating runs, everything like that? You know, it really puts that into perspective. I've always thought, you know, velocity is great, right? You can have 1,000%, you know, you can throw 101, 102, right? But then it's about location too. Because guess what? These guys have seen 102, right? It's a time, you know, it's hard to say that it's just a timing thing, right? Because you, me, the guy over by the mailbox over there, you know, whatever, those guys, we couldn't just walk in there and just say 102, I'm going to hit this thing, right? But these guys, that's what they do. They train for that. It's timing. So if it's 102 and it's straight, right, you know, there's no break to the, you know, there's no two-seamer that's, you know, tailing off a little bit or whatever it is. It's just a straight old 102 fastball with, I mean, just hitting dead red, right? it's pretty hard, it's pretty easy to hit that. No, not for us, right? Not for us. I'm not saying that it's the simplest of games, right? I'm not saying that, you know, it doesn't still take a skill to be able to hit that fastball. You still have to time it up and everything like that. But what I'm saying is these guys train for that. So when you get 102 flat, dead red, it's going to be, you know, 10 times simpler to hit than if a guy comes out there whipping 102 and he's pinpoint with it, right? He can go high and inside on you and dot the corner, or he can go outside with it too. He can break in something with a breaking ball. So it all changes in that hindsight there. But what I'm saying is, you know, with Jordan Hicks, and I mean, we saw with a couple guys now, we saw Garrett Whitlock has actually had his velocity go down 3.7 miles per hour, and his ERA has gone from 5.15 down to 1.96. Ronaldo Lopez, ERA from 3.27 to 1.34, 3 miles per hour lost on the fastball. So it really makes you put it into perspective then, hey, you know, velocity might not be the greatest thing. You know, first I need my guys to learn location, right? And, you know, I talk about this, you know, if you have a chance, Integrity Sports Network on Facebook there, and you can find them on YouTube, as we do, I'm a part of a baseball podcast, right? The Bases Loaded podcast there. And we talked about this. And we talked about injuries to pitchers, right? And the biggest thing that guys preach now is they won't even look at you if you're only throwing 90. Right, they want guys who are throwing 95 plus. Those are their guys nowadays. Right, but with that, there comes the struggle for velocity, or not the struggle for location. Right, the location's off, mechanics are off, leads to other problems throughout there. You can't control the fastball. Heck, yeah, you can throw it 105, right? But you can't control it. Right, it's going one time. It's going to be dead red. It's going to be a little high, right? And the next time you throw it, it's going to be in the dirt. So it happens a lot with, I mean, that was a big thing. You look at a guy even like Abner Uribe coming up through the Brewers organization. If you wanted to know, the one knock on him all the way through the minor league system was his location. He could not find it at times. And when he lost it, he lost it. And that was, I mean, it's held true at times with Abner, as he still struggles with location at times. Now you look at guys like Jordan Hicks. The loss in velocity has actually led to him being able to pinpoint and be better accuracy-wise and be able to put pitches where he wants them out there. So, you know, I just thought that was interesting. I saw that stat there coming out today, and I kind of just want to look at it because, you know, you don't really put two and two together there, because everybody thinks that, you know, the harder you throw, the better you're going to be, right? The harder you're throwing out there, the better you're going to be. Yeah, when you're in high school, right? When you're in high school, and if you're in high school, you know, especially where I was in the central Wisconsin, and you play in Division IV baseball, if you can throw 85 plus, you're now a dominant pitcher, right? You're a dominant pitcher because these guys don't see stuff like that, right? Because I knew for a fact, you know, when I was going, you know, depending on the team we're playing, whoever it was, one night you were going to face a guy who was throwing 70, and the next night you were going to face a guy who was throwing 75, and you might see 80 occasionally if you went to play some bigger schools, but then you drop back down, right? And so the velocities were so variant down there, but they weren't, you know, there's nobody throwing 80, you know, 85 plus. There was nobody throwing 90, right? And so now you see guys nowadays where, I mean, it's a velocity game. It's a velocity game out there. And that's leading to other problems, the arm injuries, the whatever, you know, the lack of control. All those little things have come from we don't care as much about mechanics. We just want guys who can throw the ball hard, and the mechanics and everything else will come along down the road. It doesn't just work that way sometimes, right? Sometimes it does, right? Sometimes you can make it work. But other times you have to be able to develop pitchers at a younger age to be able to do those little things. The mechanics, the hitting spots, right? Being able to control your arm, be able to control your arm speed, whatever it is. You got to be able to control that kind of thing. And, like I said, with injuries, the biggest thing with that is mechanics. You know, some of these guys, you watch the way that they throw a baseball. I compare throwing a baseball to a golfer hitting a golf ball, right? It is one of the most violent motions that you could put your body through, right? Just the torque, the spin rate, everything else that you're putting your body through when you're throwing a pitch, right? When you're swinging a golf club. And you don't notice the kind of thing like that, right? I mean, I pitched back in the day. I pitched in high school. I pitched in college. And I didn't notice that kind of thing, right? You don't just feel it, right? But when you feel it, then something went wrong, right? But that comes back to mechanics then, because I know, you know, if I threw, say, my slider or curveball wrong, I'd feel it in my elbow, right? And that wasn't a good thing. And that's where I ran into problems in my playing career, was with my elbow. Now, I'm not saying I would have went pro or anything like that, but what I'm saying is that, you know, you look at some of these guys nowadays and you say to yourself, why are injuries happening? Why is all this stuff happening now? It's because we don't care about mechanics. We don't care about how a guy looks coming up. We just want to see a guy chuck 102. And we just think that we can fix him down the road. It's hard to fix a guy after he's been doing it for 10, 15 years, right? The arm angles, everything like that, whatever's comfortable to him. They've been doing it for how long? It's a struggle, right? It's a struggle. So, I mean, that's just some of the things that I saw out there, was guys throwing a little bit slower, but having better seasons. That's interesting. That was an interesting topic, and I just wanted to bring it up there because I thought it was quite interesting reading some of the guys. I guarantee you there's more out there. Those are just some of the main ones that I saw there. So, sticking with the standings, I want to jump over to the AL. We have the Yankees up top. They have a commanding lead right now over, you know, 29-15 overall. The Orioles are hanging around, though, 27-14, half game back. And then you have the Boston Red Sox, 6.5 games back of first place there. The Tampa Bay Rays, 7 games back. And the Toronto Blue Jays, 9 games back of first place right now. Toronto's pitching has struggled. That's the biggest thing with Toronto, is their pitching staff. They haven't been able to put anything together so far. So hopefully we see something good. I mean, if you're a Toronto fan, right, hopefully we see something good come out of the Toronto pitching staff here pretty soon, because that is it's still a decent lineup, right? You got Vlad, you have Bo Bichette, you got Biggio out there. They have a decent lineup. It's just trying to find that pitching to balance it out there. So moving over to the AL Central right now, and the Twins, they did go on that hot streak, right? They had won 9 of 10 or whatever it was at one point there. They've cooled off, 5-5 in their last 10 games. Guardians, 27-17 overall. They lead the Central Division right now, followed by the Kansas City Royals, 26-19, game and a half back of first. The Twins sitting 2 games back at 24-18. The Detroit Tigers, 21-22. And then we see the Chicago White Sox, 14-30. They have won 6 of their last 10 games. So not, I mean, they stink, but they're finding a way to win ball games right now. Looking over at the AL West, kind of a surprise in the AL West right now. The Seattle Mariners lead at 24-20, followed by the Rangers at 23-22. Then we have the Oakland A's coming in at 19-26, 5.5 games back of first place. The Houston Astros, 18-25. They're 5.5 games back, 6-4 in their last 10. And then we see the Los Angeles Angels right now, 15-28 overall. They're 8.5 games back and 3-7 in their last 10 games. The Oakland A's, like I said, I mean, they're just like the Toronto Blue Jays. Can't find the pitching, but they've been scoring runs. I mean, they've been putting runs across the board. It's just trying to balance it out right now. They're getting a lot of high-scoring games simply because they cannot pitch their way out of things. Right, that pitching staff is not great. You look out at the bullpen, though, they have a solid bullpen. I should say solid closer. Right? We're looking at a guy closing down games out there in Mason Miller. He's out there chucking 102 with, like I was talking about, command. And this guy might be one of the better closers in all of baseball right now. So that's an interesting storyline to follow there. But you look at the hittings. Are you looking at the hitters for him? Abraham Toro. Brewers never gave him a real shot. He's hitting 287 out there with the A's right now. 4 home runs, 17 RBIs. This guy has been hitting the ball well for the A's on this young season. And, I mean, good for him, right? Good for him. You're playing for a dumpster fire organization with an owner that basically just wants to get rid of you, and yet you're still finding ways to produce out there. So can't knock it. Can't knock it. Good stuff there out of Abraham Toro and these A's players who are basically playing for an owner that just wants to move the team and be done with it. He just wants to be done with this whole mess, and that's about it. So with that, that's about all I got on the baseball front. We're going to be talking more about the Brewers weekend series coming up here tomorrow on the show. We got lots to talk about with the weekend coming up here with the Brewers and everything else. We got the farm report coming up tomorrow. We got lots happening tomorrow here on the show. But with that, I want to look. The NFL did release the schedules, and we do have the schedule for the Green Bay Packers. Now, I'm going to get more into the schedule probably on a later date, but I kind of just want to look at some of the interesting ones, see where I think the Packers might sit in this schedule and see where the tough sledding might be, right? There's portions in your schedule every single year where you might have a tough stretch, right? And especially with the Packers, like I talked about yesterday there, they have one of the tougher schedules in all of football. So, I mean, it's going to be one of those years where the Packers, they're still young. Ken Jordan Love put together a full season now, right? We saw it for 10 games last year, or whatever it was, you know, whatever it accumulated to there. But we saw it for a stretch last year. Let's see it for a full one now, because you're going to need it, especially against a pretty good regular season grouping here of teams you got to play. So preseason-wise, they start up August 10th. They're going to be taking on the Cleveland Browns. Then they got the Denver Broncos, and then they'll play the Baltimore Ravens. First week, we already know about that one. That's going to be the game in Sao Paulo. That'll be against the Philadelphia Eagles. Technically a road game for both teams, but the Eagles will be the home team for that game down there in Brazil. The Indianapolis Colts, that'll be a game on September 15th. That'll be second week of the year at Lambeau, followed by another AFC South opponent, the Tennessee Titans. That'll be at Tennessee for that one. Then we get into the NFC North. September 29th, we will see the Minnesota Vikings for a matchup there at Lambeau Field in That'll be week four there. Week five, they travel to the Rams. Week six is the Arizona Cardinals. That'll be followed by week seven. They will be taking on the Houston Texans at home at Lambeau, followed by the Jacksonville Jaguars. That'll be at Jacksonville. The Detroit Lions will be coming up on November 3rd. Next up, they have a bye week, week 10, followed by the Bears. They'll be traveling to Soldier Field in week 11 to take on the Bears. San Francisco 49ers on November 24th. November 28th, then, that's going to be a quick turnaround. This is a tough turnaround. The Miami Dolphins on the Thursday after, that'll be the Thanksgiving game there on November 28th. So they have the Dolphins for that one. That'll be a night game. So that helps out a little bit, but still that quick turnaround between playing the 49ers and the Dolphins. The Detroit Lions then on December 5th. So you're going to have Detroit Lions pretty close there, about 3 weeks in between it there, where you'll have the Lions. You'll be traveling to Detroit for that game, followed by the Seattle Seahawks on December 15th. December 23rd, they'll be taking on the Saints there, Monday Night Football. And then on the 29th, they will take on the Minnesota Vikings. And then the last game of the year will be against the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field. That one is still to be decided yet. That's that week. They figure out, you know, playoff implications, everything like that, and then they'll put you in a spot, right? So you might play a night game. You might play on Saturday, right? Because I believe that weekend they're going to have Saturday games. So you might have a Saturday game, whatever it is. They'll figure something out there with that week 18 game there. So, I mean, looking at the schedule, you start out with the Eagles. The Eagles are still a pretty, decent team. You got Jalen Hurts. You got a decent team out there at the Eagles, but you're going to be traveling for that one to Brazil. Then you have the Colts. that's a question mark team, right? You know, Anthony Richardson coming back from injury. You don't know what you're going to get out of him yet. That should be an interesting matchup. The Tennessee Titans, I still believe they're a little bit away from being a great and over-the-top team. I think they're still going to struggle in this season. So, should have a couple of wins there. The Minnesota Vikings, I got to say, it's going to be how J.J. McCarthy fits, right? Because they have T.J. Hockenson. They have Addison. They have Justin Jefferson. If everybody stays healthy on that team, they have a pretty good team there. So that should be a good matchup there with the Vikings. So a pretty decent start for Green Bay. Not a crazy tough schedule there. But then you get into the Rams. That's a team. They've given you problems in the past. Stafford's going to be ready to go. You're going to have Puka. You're going to have Puka Nacua to deal with. You're going to have Cooper Kupp to deal with. That could be a good matchup between Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur there. Follow that up with the Arizona Cardinals. I still don't know what to expect with Arizona. I still think they're a ways away. This is going to be a tough matchup then following that one up. The Week 7 matchup there with the Houston Texans. That's at Lambeau, but you got CJ Stroud coming to town there. That might be a tough matchup for Green Bay taking on the Houston Texans. I know it's in Lambeau, so that's going to help. But this is going to be a duel, right? This is a duel that we would have loved to see last year, second half of the year, between CJ Stroud and Jordan Love because both were rolling. This is going to be a big matchup here between the Texans and the Packers. This is the tough stretch for Green Bay, I believe, right here. Texans, then you travel to Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville last year did struggle, but I believe they might have a bounce back year this year. So that's going to be a tough one traveling to Jacksonville. Then you have the game against the Lions. That'll be on November 3rd. That's going to be back at Lambeau, but still going to be tough. You have the bye week, but then you travel to Soldier Field to take on the Bears, the revamped Bears. I don't know what the Bears are going to look like, right? Caleb Williams could be going off. Caleb Williams could be a dumpster fire, right? We don't know. We don't know where the Bears are going to be at, head coaching-wise, offensive line-wise, anything right now. So the Bears might be tough there. Then you have that stretch. The three-game stretch it's two home games, and then you will travel on the road. But you have the 49ers. And this is that short week. The 49ers followed up by the Miami Dolphins on Thanksgiving, and then you have the Detroit Lions at Detroit for that one. Seattle is going to be tough at Seattle, and then you have the Saints followed by the Vikings and the Bears. So, I mean, all in all, you look at the schedule for Green Bay, they're going to be, if, you know, barring that something goes wrong, you know, the way that we looked at this team last year heading into this season now and the expectations, this team's going to be battle-tested come playoffs, right? They're going to have faced some of the better teams in the play that will potentially be in the playoffs, the Lions, the Texans. You're going to probably see the 49ers, the Dolphins. Seattle has that potential to be in there. The Eagles. So you're going to have six opponents just right there that you could potentially see in the playoff picture. That's not counting the Rams. If they put a run on, maybe, you know, let's just appease the Bears fans for 5 seconds. The Bears, who could be, you know, with that wide receiver core, the good defense, right? They could potentially be in the picture. The Vikings, if J.J. McCarthy comes in and lights the world on fire, right? I mean, the Packers have a tough schedule. This is tough. This is a tough schedule for the Green Bay Packers. They're going to be battle-tested throughout this entire year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Packers put together this upcoming year here. But, I mean, with that, like I said, I'm going to get more into this schedule. I'm going to dig deeper into some of these matchups and see kind of where they're all, where I'd be leaning at them, kind of get the predictions of where we see the Packers sitting with this upcoming season just around the corner. I'm going to talk more. I'm going to look more in the NBA. We might have some, you know, we have the Celtics moving on. We might see some other teams advance by tomorrow there. I believe we will see the Knicks and Pacers in action on Friday. I believe the Nuggets are in action on Thursday. And then we have, like I said, the Celtics moving on, and we're going to have a series on the Dallas and Oklahoma City series will carry over into Saturday there. So lots to talk about NBA, a little more NFL, looking around the schedule, seeing some of the bigger games. Also, Brewer talk. We got to get into Brewers more with the weekend preview. But with that, this has been Wisconsin Sports on the Go with Trage. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you guys back here tomorrow. But until then, deuces.
Yeah, oh my Lord, watch me sway. Darkness falls and we all pray, hoping for the light of day. Down to the river, I have held the devil's hand, felt the weight of my own sin, burdened by the heart of man. Down to the river, down to the river.